Welcome today to the August 3rd edition of the Security Week in Review, brought to you by Storefront Backtalk and The Hack Report. I'm Evan Schumann, editor of StorefrontBackTalk.com. We've got some fairly interesting security issues this week, some PCI issues, some Certigy updates, and the latest on TJX weathering the storm. But more importantly than that, we have got a pair of extraordinarily intrepid security observers with us today. We have, from Gartner, Aviva Leitin, and we have got the newest member of the PCI Security Council, Chris Hines, from Motorola. And I want to welcome you both today. There was a wonderful insider attack reported a month or so ago. It involved Fidelity National Information Services and its unit Certigy. And what it had been accused of was that a LAN administrator there had taken millions of names and had sold them to an information broker, which was against policy and laws and all kinds of other naughty things. What came out this week was that the number that they had reported was remarkably higher, millions higher, than initially had been estimated. How big an issue? Let me throw this up. Let us start here with Chris initially. How big an issue right now is the insider data threat? Clearly, it has been drilled into our heads for 10 years that that is the biggest threat out there. And yet, how many people are still prepared to deal with it, which really gets down to how many people are there to have personnel redundancy, to have outsiders or other people checking the work of their people? Who can afford that kind of security?
I think it's a much bigger danger than a lot of people want to admit to. It's a very difficult thing to think about, and it's a harsh one to realize when you go to put your policies in place. I think a lot of people would really like to believe that all their employees are going to be upstanding and that some such a thing isn't going to occur. But as we saw in this particular example, the person in question knew exactly how to circumvent all of the safety measures that they had in place. Once you've got someone like that, and there's no check and balance on that individual, they have free run, and it can be extremely difficult to ever track them down. And I think your point that you made is exactly what I would encourage companies to really start thinking about, is really get some division of responsibility amongst different people. So this guy's allowed to access it, but this guy is responsible for monitoring that activity, and split those jobs up so no one person can know how to circumvent the auditing and is responsible for checking the auditing. Because I think that's what you see a lot of now. In this case, you know, the guy who's responsible for making sure that people aren't accessing the data in questionable ways is also the guy who's going to do it. Well, if the guy who checks the accessors can't actually access themselves, now they're one step more removed.
Aviva, how often do you see that kind of a check and balance in some of the larger retailers, or for that matter, some of the not-so-large retailers?
Yeah, and it's not only a matter of retailers. It's processors, anyone that has sensitive data, healthcare agencies, hospitals, insurance companies. There's very little penetration of employee monitoring. I would say less than 5% of companies have systems that monitor access to sensitive data. Most of the companies, I think well over half out there, are monitoring email and file transfers for sensitive information being leaked out of the company. But there is very little penetration of monitoring systems doing exactly what Chris just talked about, segregation and duty monitoring. So the DBA, for example, database administrator, has the keys to the kingdom. And no one's watching the DBA, which was exactly what happened in this case. You don't have to spend a lot of money to monitor those systems. There's lots of technology. We just wrote a research note on all the different kinds of monitoring systems that you can put in for a few $100,000 that are pretty effective. They're very effective at monitoring policies. So enterprises are spending millions and millions of dollars setting up identity and access management systems, largely in response to Sarbanes-Oxley, which does require segregation of duty. So they're setting up the access rights, but they're not monitoring that access. So you could imagine the scenario where they say, yes, our DBA can access all the tables, but no one's monitoring the nature of that access. So, you know, I personally think that it's a no-brainer. The problem with security is there's no hard ROI. And if you ask an executive, would you rather spend money securing your systems or attracting new customers, 8 times out of 10 or 9 times out of 10, they'll say, we want to build revenue, not, you know, add to security budgets.
It's not even just securing the systems. The question often will come down to, do you mind if we have redundant functions because we can't afford to trust our people? That can be a very difficult argument to make. It's a very dangerous one if you ignore it, though.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily redundant. It's just kind of a watchdog system. And sure, you know, we don't all want to be watched. I don't like the thought of being watched. You don't like the thought of being watched. But in terms of accessing the corporate secrets and customer-sensitive data, I don't think anyone would rightfully object to being monitored in that respect.
Chris, what do you think? Think there's going to be pushback, philosophical, psychological, or financial?
Well, there's always pushback to anything new, particularly on the financial side, but I think one of the things that you see is that this is very different for people than the Sarbanes-Oxley stuff is, because most companies already had finance as a fairly separated, well-understood area, and it was usually located in their headquarters, and that's where it operated, and the data was all in one spot. One thing that makes this particularly difficult is credit card data can be dispersed a little bit more widely between your environments. There can be people who might have access to that data on a site-by-site basis, you know, at individual stores who might be able to access that. It becomes a much trickier problem. And you're seeing a lot of pushback just from the complexity of it that says, you know, rather than face this big complex problem, I'd rather pretend it doesn't exist.